We are back on the front page, 94.7, The Pulse in Geelong. Our next guest is very passionate about uncovering stuff that doesn't look all that good. Some people might call it seedy, mischievous, call it what you like, but there seems to be more of it operating in our business and political world at the moment. And to talk about this and matters around it, welcome to the front page, Sue Barrett.
Thank you, Rob. Nice to be with you.
Very good. And just off air, I was intrigued to find out purely by accident, I didn't realise beforehand, but you have a connection to our Geelong region, being educated here at a very interesting stage, which is, one might say, hardened you up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm born and bred in Geelong, and I left Geelong when I was 18 to go to university in Melbourne, where I went to Monash and did a science degree there. So that's quite some time ago. I've lived in Melbourne ever since. But yeah, I grew up in Geelong, and one of the things, and I was also a swimmer, swam at state national level and swam at the Norlane Pool with Herb Jeffries then, when he was our coach, and that certainly teaches you how to harden up, toughen up, not for the faint-hearted. And in my last 4 years at school, I was one of the original girls that went to the Geelong College when it actually went co-ed. So I think when I first started there in Form 3, or Year 9 equivalent, there would have been about 7 boys to 1 girl when I was at school. So I often joke that was my introduction to corporate Australia, learning how to hold my ground and, stand up for myself.
Yeah, and it's an interesting time too, because that's really come to the fore in this year in particular. It probably started off inadvertently by the government appointment of Grace Tame as Australian of the Year, and she really got out of the blocks and set some very strong verbal standards, and they've been picked up on and run with, and I sense that the government were probably caught a bit offside when some things really come home to roost, and it would be fair to suggest it hasn't been handled all that well since. And you were one of the major starters of the pushback against that.
Yeah, that was really interesting. When the Brittany Higgins story was actually released on the 15th of February, she was inspired by Grace Tame. A lot of stuff started to happen, and I was actually interviewed by 2CC Canberra on the 17th of February about the issues around workplace safety. I've been very much an advocate for, ethical business practice, safe work practices and those sorts of things in my professional life. And so I was talking about some of the issues and challenges that many women have faced in workplace settings over the years. And where you find these sorts of things happening, you always find corruption. And so what ended up happening after that was on Twitter on the 28th of February, someone put out a question, how many people would it take to surround Parliament House, Canberra, so we could go and protest against the lack of workplace safety, the misogyny, the violence that was happening to women in workplaces, in particular Parliament House, Canberra. And from there, basically what kicked off was that someone said 4,000 people it would take. Okay, how can we get those people to Canberra? Who can build a website? And I saw this on Twitter, and my husband and I thought, we'll have a crack at building a website. And so we became involved with what now is known as the March for Justice, that went from zero to 110,000 people in 200 locations around the country in less than 14 days to protest and stand up against gendered violence and inequality in the workplace for women.
Are you and your supporters available to take over the vaccine rollout?
Well, let's put it this way. There was one bloke, which was my husband, and the rest were women. I reckon, get us together and start organising a few things. But it was amazing just how it tapped into really what is basically an issue around human decency, because anything that causes issues with women's equality or anyone's equality or anything, it's a human issue. And we need everyone to support that, men and women included. It's not a women's issue, it's a human issue. So, I take your point.
I made a pledge some time ago that I'm not going to let this issue go, because I could see it quite easily being swept under the carpet and forgotten about, and that would make a lot of people very happy. So we're going to keep talking about it here, and your little press release caught my eye for this very reason, that you've made that great stance, you've brought all these people together, but that was a long, long time ago. Have you been dissatisfied or satisfied with what's happened since?
You mean from the March for Justice?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, what's happened is that, to give you an idea of some of the stats, I don't think it's going to go away. I mean, even the federal government had to have something in their budget about women. Not that it necessarily was what we needed or all the things that happened, but they were forced to actually include women in the budget. From the just the March for Justice initiative, it got over 7,000 unique media impressions around the world in mainstream media, TV, radio, press, with international media as well. So that's pretty impressive for a little, you know, start-up. The other thing that also the website itself on the Saturday before the 15th of March, which is the Monday for the March, the website got over 800,000 hits from Australia alone. So that's telling you that this has tapped into something, and there are a lot of really important groups out there that stand up for women and equality and diversity and marginalised communities. And that's the point, is all of these people have got, they've got voices, they want to be heard, and we've got to keep working at that. But I think we've well and truly woken up or ignited these sorts of discussions. It's interesting too, because I'm also part of a group of communities now that are coming to the fore. I'm part of what is called Voices of Goldstein. I live in the electorate of Goldstein here in Melbourne, the federal electorate. There are now 38 voices of communities now around Australia. They were inspired by INDI, the independents being, Cathy McGowan and Helen Hayes INDI, and of course Zali Spiegel, because what Voices of Communities are about are actually calling on, they're talking about representative democracy. And so we've got women's issues, we've got diversity issues, we've got all sorts of issues. But if you come back under the umbrella of representative democracy, one of the biggest challenges that a lot of people may not be aware of is that democracy, of course, is meant to be for the people. But more and more it seems to be for vested interests rather than for the people. And so there's been a growing dissatisfaction in Australian communities around the current state of politics and our politicians, with many of us feeling that our interests aren't actually being represented at all in Canberra. And so it's not just a feeling. What we're seeing is the evidence shows that Australia is actually going backwards when it comes to representative democracy. And here's a couple of stats that people might find interesting. What we've found is, and not just we, what's been found by proper, you know, bodies of research, is that public satisfaction with the way our democracy is working has actually crashed over the past decade from 86% to 41%. Australia's status as an open, transparent democracy was actually downgraded from open to narrowed in 2019 by Civicus. And whilst for almost 20 years Australia ranked in the top 10 least corrupt countries, by 2018, we've actually fallen 8 points to 13. And what I believe this does is raise a serious question about the ethical underpinnings and intentions of political parties, politicians and institutions in this country. And so that's why I think we're seeing now a rise in voices. So whether it's a March for Justice or Voices of Communities, a lot of people are now saying, you know what, I don't like what's going on. I don't like what I'm hearing. Things aren't working the way I thought they were meant to. I thought Australia was meant to be, you know, a prosperous place, and we are. But if we don't keep our eye on what's going on, then things go backwards. So I don't know if it's of interest. I know you've got a Geelong community, but when we actually asked a lot of people, we've been running these what they call kitchen table conversations with our community in Goldstein. And this is what they are most concerned about. There's many things, but these are the things that sort of stand out. Undue influence of political donors, lobbyists and industry bodies, influencing and corrupting our political system, which is leading party politicians to vote in favour of their vested interests rather than ours, the constituents. They're also concerned about the dramatic rise in corruption, and that the federal government's throwing a veil of secrecy over deals and decisions that are keeping us in the dark. Also, too, they're concerned about the mainstream media influence being too concentrated, too narrow, and then for promoting and distracting us with misleading and often biased reporting and propaganda in favour of certain parties. And then, of course, the lack of workable policies and accountability for major issues such as climate change and growing poverty and inequality. So when we actually listen to people on the ground, this is what they're concerned about. But what my question is this being represented at Canberra? So who are our politicians actually really working for, particularly party politicians? Are they working for their constituents or their vested interests? Because if it's the latter, then Australians' voices are not being heard. So when I look at all the things I get involved with, I sort of sum it back up to look at representative democracy, because if that starts to fail, then women start to fail and all sorts of other people and institutions and situations start to fail.
It's a very good example, and it makes me want to talk to you more, and we haven't got much time, but I want to ask this question. Over a period of time that I've also changed a lot of my thinking because of this, these stats support what I've viewed myself, but has your political views changed as you've become more aware of the surroundings, or would you call yourself a locked-on political animal?
No, I've actually not been a political person. What I like to look is at evidence and information that actually helps us make informed decisions. So I don't actually align to any political party. I never have, and I don't believe I ever will. I want to hold them to account to what are good, decent standards of good, well-run democracy. And so whilst I grew up in a family in Geelong that may have been more Liberal Party leaning, what I've done is I've actually looked at what people are actually doing, what they're actually standing for in Parliament. And I don't like what I see. And so that's why I've put my efforts in outside of my professional capacity to actually look at how we can actually have strong representative democracies and don't take things for granted. Because if we get complacent and lazy or not interested, then they'll do stuff outside of our purview, and bad things can happen. We've got a whole... That's why we need a National Integrity Commission, if nothing else, to start this ball rolling.
I'm fascinated with what I've heard. I'm really pleased I found you, and I want to talk to you some more, possibly in a fortnight, because there's so many places we can go with this, and you touched on a bit of apathy there. So with this power that you have, how do you actually make some change? But you've opened up some thought processes this morning, and I really appreciate you spending some time, and hopefully we can spend some more time soon.
Oh, my pleasure, Rob. And look, everyone, keep asking questions, keep talking to each other. That's the way we can actually keep the bastards honest, as they say.
Very well done. Sue Barrett, a former Geelong girl, but I reckon your heart might still be in the place. You still visit the Surf Coast a bit?
A bit, but I also go cat.
Good girl. Appreciate that. Sue, I'll be in touch. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Rob. Take care.
Sue Barrett working what I call for the good guys.